Morning, everyone. I was pondering this week what to share, and you know, we've been doing a teaching series over the last few weeks around the power of living in faith and power as believers. And God really laid on my heart that this morning we have a message around the fullness that God intended, living in the fullness that God intended. And the verse that really stuck out to me, and we actually spoke about this in our life group this week as well. And just so that God has really got his finger on this, this was my quiet time yesterday morning as well, before I'd even, I'd prepared this, but the fact is that God just really laid his finger on it, that this is something on his heart, well, something he's really speaking to me strongly about. And I have a sense that as believers, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not living in the fullness of God. We're striving there, but this morning I want to really unpack what God is saying to us about how can we get to where he actually wants us to live. So we're going to look at what is the fullness, what enables God's fullness, how much is fullness if we can measure it, and how do we attain and maintain this fullness? So let's look at what does God mean by fullness. Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples, and he explained to them what God had planned for believers. And this is at the end of Luke, which we'll read in a moment. He made known to them the fullness that he had attained for them and for us. And when we read those scriptures, we read what he did and spoke to them about. And then later you will see in scripture that he says, and it's for all who believe from the message that they have. So we can appropriate what Jesus spoke to his disciples after he rose, as if Jesus was speaking to us personally, as if he appeared in your lounge this morning, risen from the dead, and said to you by your name or your family, hey, this is what I have attained for you, and this is what I want you to live up to. Can we imagine that amazing experience if it was possible? Living in victory all the time, so that we have power over all evil, not some evil. Power over sickness, power over disease, power over poverty, power over demonic possession and oppression, discord and unrest, and poverty is repeated, sorry, and any other scheme of the devil. And these are just a short list of the things the enemy brings against us. Even as Mark was saying this morning, you know, listening to what we, paying attention to what we listen to, because the devil will masquerade as an angel of light. So there's so many things that the devil arrays against his believers, but the fullness that Christ attained for us protects and provides and makes a way for us to overcome all of these things all the time. Galatians 5 verse 22-25 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, fruit, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's just a short list of what comes when we attain and maintain the fullness that God has intended for us. So let's read the main passage I wanted to focus on today. This is from Luke 24, verse 36-49. Jesus appears to the disciples. And while they were still talking about this is Jesus being resurrected. The disciples were gathered in the room, if you remember. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So can you picture that moment? Jesus, the Jesus that was crucified, that was gone, they were mourning him, they were confused, and he stands among them and says to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost, just like the other time when they saw him walk across the water when they were in the boat. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything yet to eat?" As if to prove to them further that he was there in the flesh, risen and alive. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. And on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, I want to focus on one aspect there. Jesus said, well, the scripture says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. Now, Craig gave a illustration in one of his encouragement videos about a week ago. If you remember, if those of you saw it, was a little jug with stones in it. And he poured water into it, talking about us getting filled with Christ. And then he emptied the stones out and said, when the stones are out, we can be filled further. But the point here is, even if we cover our hands over that vessel, we cannot be filled at all. We cannot even have fullness. Yes, if there's the wrong things in us. But Jesus here opened their minds. And I want to highlight this because I think this is one of the keys of what Jesus is talking about this fullness. It is the opening of our mind. It is a spiritual concept. We talked about renewing of the mind a few weeks ago when I was teaching. And this opening of the mind is something we cannot do ourselves. We have to go to God. We have to seek him. And then he can open our minds. Because if our minds are closed, we are limiting what God has. So what enables us to be in the fullness of Christ? Okay. There are two key sources of a believer's strength, hope and power. And if you look, this is the thing that actually is our fullness. When we attain the strength that God intended, when we have a complete understanding of the hope that he has for us and for others, and when we live and operate in the power that God has for us. All of those things are not human. They are not carnal. They are not from our human nature. They are from God. And there's two key sources to get to this and to continually seek to attain this. The one is the Word of God. God has made it such that the Word of God is the key to what we have. And the Holy Spirit's power is the other. There's a third aspect, which is not a key, but it's linked to the ability to allow God to reach this fullness, and that is our capacity. If we have a minimized capacity, like the jug that Craig showed, with other things in it, you will not be able to attain the fullness that God has intended for you. You'll not be living in it, and there'll be something missing. There'll be something short. There'll be something like we feel that we're just not there. And this comes from the renewing of our mind. Because you cannot get rid of or enlarge your capacity unless we are renewing our mind. And that is another spiritual concept. It's a spiritual aspect. It is not something you can do by the mind itself. So you cannot renew your mind by using your own mind that is unrenewed to renew it, if you understand what I mean. You have to be open to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God to allow your mind to be renewed. So where do those three come from? Well, for a start, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is in line with what Mark has shared and what Amanda shared in her word this morning, that this is one of the keys. If we are not hearing the Word of God, now I want to highlight this. This is not a theological hearing. You can read the Word until, as they say, the cows come home and nothing will happen. And I will go in my illustrations back to the video I made on Thursday afternoon. And then you will see that we have to hear the Word, but we have to hear it with what Jesus did to the disciples when he walked into that room and he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Because if we're not open to God like that, we will never hear the Word. You will have these strongholds in your mind that are put there because they come from your carnal nature and they will resist. You will always have a thing that this is something you don't accept in the Word of God, or this area, or you don't accept this aspect, or you've got a problem with the Spirit working like this, or you've got a problem with that. These are things that you can hear the Word, but if you don't have your mind renewed at the same time by having God open it, then this hearing of the Word is not going to be as effectual, but as important as it is. And the other aspect is from Acts 2. Where have I got that verse now? Acts 2, verse 1 to 12. I'll have to read it from here. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, so other people heard it too, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these all Galileans who are speaking? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, the list goes on. As we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Can you imagine being there that day? Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them that they've had too much wine. You see how the unrenewed mind can't accept the things of the Spirit. But the amazement of these people, they saw an aspect that was being poured out, and this was the Holy Spirit being poured out, so that there was this fullness. The disciples then got to a place of being absolutely full as Christ intended them to be. Picture that now, that is our inheritance. That's where God wants us to operate, like that. And then Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, says that we must be a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this is what builds our capacity to be able to be full in Christ. So how much is fullness? Am I going too fast? Renette says I'm going too fast. Okay, sorry.
I'm trying to pull up the
You don't write the stuff. Listen. Okay. How much is fullness? It's a good question. Fullness is obviously the full capacity, but if the capacity is low, there will not be much fullness. It's the capacity to live as Jesus did and taught. So if you want to measure fullness, if you go and pour water into a measuring jug or you're baking or something like that, and they say pour out this much, and you pour it up to the line, it's not full. But when you fill it up, it's full. But if you go and take that full jug and you pour it into a 20-gallon drum, it won't even cover the bottom of it. And then we start to realize that fullness by our terms and fullness by God's standard are very different. And the only way we can be full to the level that God wants us to be full is to increase our capacity. And this is an aspect why I believe God is saying that the capacity is linked to the renewing of the mind. When your mind is not renewed, you're going to have a small capacity for the things of God, because you can creating limitations in areas of our lives that are going to limit the fullness that God has. And the disciples were continually being chastised before Jesus was crucified. And he continually said to them, "Do you still not understand?" He was continually stretching them. And then you look, even after he's resurrected, they still don't understand. And yet, that passage we read in Acts, where the Holy Spirit came, then suddenly they stepped into the fullness that Christ had for them. And that's because they had now finally probably renewed their minds to the point that God could use them. So if we're going to measure fullness, can we absorb? Can we understand? Can we receive? Can we operate in the fullness and the wisdom God intended? James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." That "without finding fault" in other versions, it really means that God doesn't ask you what did you do with the wisdom he gave you before when you asked again. You can ask anytime, and God will give you the answer to this prayer. This is one of the instructions where we specifically asked, told to go and ask God. Go and ask God for wisdom. And that wisdom is this godly wisdom that is not of carnal nature, that will be an aspect of renewing of our minds. And so I want to get to this aspect of how do we attain, because that's the crux of it. How do we attain and maintain God's fullness? And I'm going to, as was suggested, we'll come back to the sharing now. Okay. And now I don't know if you can see me larger. If you need to see my illustrations, you can click on the pin. But God had laid this message on my heart, and yesterday we were cycling, and it's like sometimes when I cycle, you've got a lot of time to listen to God, and he just kind of completed this message that he'd given me, and I want to highlight a few things that will make it more clear. So in front of me, I have my cycling light. Now, if I can switch this on, you can see. The intention is that you can't see him anymore because of the bright light. If I do this, let's shine it on me. That might be better. This is the limitation of the electronics. If I was in the church, I could shine this straight at you. Now I'm going to push a button, and actually, it's getting brighter and brighter. I don't know if you can see that. And there it is, super bright. I can't even look at it. Okay. And this cycling light is a rechargeable one. Okay. So I need to charge this to use it. Now, yesterday, we were six of us cycling, and I noticed that only Mark Elliott's light was actually working. Mine I thought was working, but when I put it on, I noticed it was pretty flat. This thing was such a dim thing that it wouldn't actually show any cars that we were coming. And I realized I hadn't charged my light. And the only one who had charged his light was Mark. And other people had lights on, but they were very dim. And God was speaking to me through this illustration that this rechargeable light is like you and me. It has a certain capacity, and I can charge it. But if I want it to last long, you can see now how dim it is. I can put it on dim, and this thing might last a month without a charge. But it's going to be pretty useless at shining God's light. Okay. When I need to use this thing on its brightest mode, like this. Okay, there are three presses. When I need to use it on its brightest mode, the battery life has the shortest battery life. This might burn like this for 2 or 3 hours. I will not be able to use this light every Saturday when I go cycling without charging it. And my point here is that what we've just spoken about is that one of the ways we achieve the fullness of Christ is by the word of God. And I'm going to switch this light on, and I will just leave it here. And you see it died. So yesterday, this is exactly what happened. This light I haven't charged on purpose. I literally switched it on, and it goes, and it's only lasts about 10 seconds, and the battery's flat. And sometimes this is what I believe God is saying we are like as Christians. We go and we have this power quiet time, and we search for God, but we expect that that little charge has got to last us for a month or a week or whatever it is. And there's a sense that God says, or there's a reason that God says in when he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And we are supposed to, if we are going to be lights, if you can agree that our purpose as Christians in a parallel is that we are supposed to be lights like this. There's not much use if I cycle with this and I never switch it on. There's not much use if it's not charged often enough or I forget to charge it. And then during my cycle, the thing goes flat. It actually has not served its purpose. Even this little Garmin computer of mine, has a battery in it too. And it chews battery because it's got a GPS. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was using it. And I also hadn't charged it because I knew that I could probably cycle 3 or 4 weeks with this thing. And in the middle of my ride, it said, I don't have enough battery power. I'm going to battery saving mode. And it switched the screen off. And so now I can't see what I'm doing, but it's carrying on recording the ride. And before I'd even finished riding, the thing was completely dead and it didn't record the ride. And the parable of the maids and the oil, the five that had oil with spare oil and the five that only had oil in their lamps comes to mind, that it's like that. And I want to just highlight this, and Bradley can deal with this afterwards. If you can see this, I'll put it closer. These are the seeds that I showed you on Thursday. And this is a stone that I showed you on Thursday. Now, when we talk about renewing our minds, when we were dead to Christ, we were like the stone. You can water it as much as you want and will stay a stone. It will never grow. This is not a seed. The supernatural thing that happens, as an illustration of what I'm trying to show, when we are born again, we change from this dead stone with a dead destiny to a seed. And we become a seed, but this is not the fullness of what God has for the seed. This is the start. The thing that makes the seed grow is water. And as I was saying on Thursday, not Coke and Energade and things like that that have a bit of water in them, it won't reach its fullness. And that's sometimes what we're filling our lives with. We don't go to the Word and wait in God. We go to other places and to primarily the internet and other people and other theologians and stuff without really waiting on God. Now, when we are seeds, we need water. And only when we are watering continually will we grow. If we stop watering the seed as some plants in our house have suffered ill fate and they have died. We have orchids that look beautiful and then someone forgets to water them, no names mentioned, and they die. And that is like our lives. We cannot reach the fullness of God if we are not got the water, and the water is like the word. So I'm going to just finish off now with the last points, and I will go back to sharing my screen so that I've now shown you all I had to show you. Oh, come on. So how can we attain and maintain this fullness that I'm talking about, that I believe God is really wanting us to get to? We are like rechargeable lights. We go flat when we left for a few weeks. We have to live. We sometimes live in the light of others. That was another aspect from the cycling that I noticed, that because we were riding in a group, because one or two people had lights on, we were okay because we were living in the light of others. We sometimes live in the light of others. We're associated with them. And because of that, we kind of don't worry about our own lights. We're not that concerned with how charged up we are because we are benefiting from the light of others in our fellowship. But God doesn't want us to that. If you look at that, we are useless against the dark. A light is supposed to shine, but a light that doesn't shine is absolutely useless against the dark. But the moment you put a light on, the darkness flees. And so with the seeds planted, they have the DNA for an entire forest of the same trees. That little seed, when planted, it will grow with regular watering. But we have to be saved and be reborn in the spirit. That supernatural transformation from a stone to a seed is like the miracle that takes place when we get reborn. And the missing part of your body, soul, and spirit, the spirit is what comes to life in you. Before that, your body and soul were the dead spirit, no relationship with God. So the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. And I want to close with three exhortations from Paul, who was really pushing the believers. And I believe these passages are what he wants to spur us on with today. First is Ephesians 1, 18 to 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Does that not sound like the fullness of God that we want? The power is the same mighty power that his strength, the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything. I know it's a mouthful, but let's unpack it for a few seconds. Is incomparably great power for us who believe. Can you appropriate that for yourself? Are you one who believes? Then this incomparably great power, there is nothing we can compare it with. This is, in a sense, the measure, but also the way we attain this fullness, because we have to be in Christ. Now, this fullness comes one reason. God placed, at the end of that verse, and God placed all things, not some things, all things, not some things on this earth or not everything on this earth, all things, which is in the entire created universe of God, beyond what we even know as human beings today in the galaxies. That is what God placed under Jesus's authority and appointed him to be head over everything. Again, all inclusive. I love the scripture that God gives us. There are no caveats that it might be okay, but sometimes it's not going to work, like human medicine. He appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So the reason we can maintain and attain the fullness is because of Christ's power and authority and the position he has, which he gives to his church, which we are his body. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19, Paul prays for the Ephesians, and he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." That's you and me. "I pray that out of his glorious riches," the same thing that we've just read, "his incomparably great power," he describes it here as his glorious riches, "may strengthen you and me with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," do you see that rooted? It's like the seed I was talking about. We cannot grow if we're not rooted. "Established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." So we get that fullness, as Paul prays, that out of God's glorious riches, he strengthens us with power through his Spirit in our inner being. When we allow the Holy Spirit in us, and that expansion, picture it like that seed or being rooted, that root is in you and it starts expanding. When a little seed is planted in a small pot that's too small for it, but when it grows, it expands. It might even crack the pot. How we need to be like that, that we can, God can grow in us, almost in a sense to crack our carnal nature and be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And then Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 14, Paul again says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth of the waves, blown here and there by the wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemes." So you see, we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ because he wants Christ to be built up in us. And Jesus is the fullness, that measure. So it's allowing Jesus to renew our minds to the point that we attain this. And if you look, he talks about attaining. This attaining means that you haven't already attained it. It means an ongoing growing. And so we should never, ever think that we've arrived as Christians. "I've been a Christian for this long. I know this. I know that." We should never think that we've arrived. Every single one of us has to be humble enough to realize we have not arrived. And we are still learning, and God is still growing us, and we still need to seek the Lord, no matter how mature we are in Christ. And he's talking about this maturity too. So it's an aspect of growing. And the last verse, spiritual fullness in Christ. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing in thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elements of spiritual forces in this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ is all the fullness of the deity. All the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." Can you see how this fullness is linked to Christ's authority? And when we let Christ come into us and change what we have as limitations, we will be believers that are operating and living in the fullness. And that fullness is not one that's going to be running out. I believe that as we become vessels and God brings us to a fullness, the way that a full vessel gets fooled even more is the capacity expands. Because as the capacity expands, whatever was in there will not be enough to fill it anymore, and it will need more filling. And that is what God wants to do with us. And so the real issue is that we must see that God is wanting us to get beyond, go back to John 14, 12. We are not seeing that we are doing the works of Jesus as he did and more powerful than that. And that is one measure to see that God has got me on this path that will not stop, that we are nowhere near what God and Jesus intended for us to live in the fullness. And so we have to increase the watering of our spirits by the word. We have to seek him ongoing with all our heart. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to allow us to do that. And we have to keep on opening our minds with the renewing of our minds. And finally, we have to grow in our love for God. And that is us becoming more and more like a heavenly citizen here on earth. That our heavenly citizenship is real. And these things, I believe God is wanting to impress on us to see that we will start to be used by as believers and start to walk like Paul and Peter and John and the other disciples did once they'd been baptized in the Spirit. They lived lives of fullness that Jesus intended, and he's intended the same fullness for us. Amen. Ready?
Amen. Thank you, Quinton. You know, as we've listened to your message this morning, it has even stirred my heart, you know, and I want to ask all of you, let's take this message that Quinton has shared with us and let's be honest with ourselves. Let's unpack our lives and let's use this message so that we can walk in the fullness God has intended for us. And I just want to ask this morning, those of you that might be watching on YouTube, those of you that might be on MS Teams this morning, those of you that haven't committed your life to the Lord, will you be able to say this prayer after me and commit your life to our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Lord God, please forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. I turn to you and turn away from sin. Jesus, please be the center of my life. I welcome you personally as Lord and Savior of my life. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me and empower me to live as a child of God. I want to have your grace to truly live a new life. And I thank you for this today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this message that Quinton has shared with us this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, that this message is rooted deep within us, Lord. Lord, as we go through our daily walk, as we go through the everyday aspects of our lives, Father, Lord, that we can come to the fullness that you have intended for us. Lord, that we can spend that time with you each and every day to be able to receive that daily bread, to be able to receive that living water that you have intended for us. And we just pray, Father God, for each and every person listening this morning, Lord, that that will be a reality in their lives. That, Lord, if there's anything holding them back, Father, that you'll show that to them, Lord. Lord, that they can come to the fullness that you have intended for them. That they can come to the fullness that you have for their lives, Father. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.